The COVID Safe app was launched in April to help contact tracers find contacts of known COVID-19 cases. But since then, the app has been in the headlines for all of the wrong reasons. Critics say it fails to catch contacts already found through manual tracing. So is it time to ditch the app? River McCrossan has more.
The COVID Safe app helped pick up two new cases of COVID-19 in New South Wales over the weekend, but critics say it hasn't done enough since launching more than 3 months ago.
Today, no state or territory could point 730 to an instance where the app had located a close contact not already identified by manual traces. Is it time to bin that up and go for something more effective?
No, that would be ridiculous.
Prime Minister Scott Morrison defending the app on the ABC's 7:30 last month.
That would be dangerous.
Well, I just told you no state can point to where it's helped.
No, but that's what it does is it works with the manual tracing. The two go together. Now, in many parts of what we saw in Victoria, that app wasn't downloaded amongst many parts of that community. We're about at 40% downloads across the potential population who can download that app. Now, that means there's 60% of the population who hasn't. But at 40%, that's one of the highest rates for an app of that sort in the world. And so it is an important safeguard, it is an important assistance, and it is available.
But despite technical issues and downloads falling short of the government's initial target, University of Wollongong health expert Dr. Chris Degling says it's too early to make the call on COVID Safe.
I think it's way too early to say whether it's been a successful intervention or not. We also have to acknowledge that it was never meant to replace anything, so it's not as if you can compare it against something else. It was there to be an accessory or to be a secondary tool that could be used. The more and more people that signed up to it, then the more potentially useful it would be. So judging its success against participation rates, which could be higher, versus nothing, is a hard thing to do. And again, if you talk to the people who have actually put the time into developing the app, their goal was not necessarily for it to be, you know, 100% successful. Their goal was it for there to be available if it was needed and to supplement in whatever way it could standard contact tracing processes. So by those metrics, success is something that will take time to judge, and it won't be something that we can just say now it's a complete failure.
Dr. Devlin says concern around data security has made it harder for Australians to get on board.
I think there's a lot of misunderstanding in the public, and this is because privacy advocates came out quite strongly at the beginning when the app was being mooted. But my impression through some of the work that we've done and indeed talking to the people who are responsible for leading the development of the policy framework that is around the app, when people actually hear what those protections are, and realise how little data is actually collected. It's just basically a pseudonym or a name. It doesn't have to be your actual name, a telephone number and a postcode. Then very few people actually think that that's over the top. But the discourse at the beginning has coloured everyone's perception of it.
Sparrow marketing firm manager Hannah Jones agrees.
People are scared of things that they don't know about. I think they even just Google and Facebook themselves store so much more data than anyone even realises. People have just freaked out by, you know, they hear stories from across the globe of different countries tracking people, and they're worried about that. So I think that being really open, honest and transparent about exactly what's being stored, how long it's being stored for, and then proof that it has been deleted at the end of it.
And how well do you think the government has done so far in pitching the app to the Australian people?
But I don't think it's had as much of a cut through as they were hoping. I think that one of the key things is around the social proof of it. So having something like most influential leaders backing it as well, so it becomes more of a norm to have it. So even a simple thing like sharing that you've got the app with friends, seeing your social circles that have it as well could help more people get on board with it. And just maybe providing some more like positive case studies around the benefits of using the app. There's quite a lot of negative press around it at the start, and nothing too positive has been shown since then.
So putting a more social aspect to it, if you like.
Yeah, I think so, because people want to feel like they're kind of included, they're doing the right thing, they're doing the thing that everyone else is doing, that kind of group mentality. I think that, you know, it's such uncertain times, people are pretty stressed, pretty worried about what's happening, but if you kind of get this positive reinforcement of you're actually doing your bit and you're helping out and you're helping save lives by having this app, this is what you've done to help it, that might make people feel better and feel like they're contributing to the cause.
And really, the app is not there to protect you. It's just to make sure that when there is an incidence of transmission or there is a case of COVID-19, it's far easier to do the work that connects all the cases, which means that we can get on top of the outbreak much quicker.
River McCrossan with that report.